All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to our broadcast. It's wonderful evening. Hope and pray everybody's having an awesome, awesome Sunday day and evening now. But we're thankful to God for His goodness. Thankful to God for all He's accomplished this wonderful day. And again, we know that God is in control. God is a mighty God, an awesome God, worthy to be praised. And we are truly grateful for all it was accomplished this morning. And I had an awesome time in service. And we're looking forward to continuing that this evening. Give me our second message this evening, coming out of the book of Hebrews this evening. But again, we just like to welcome each one. We encourage you to share it out, share the word out with your friends and loved ones on your Facebook pages, on the YouTube side, the thumbs up, and sharing it out as well. Copy and paste the link and send it out, text it out to your friends and loved ones. Tell them come on in and hear the word of God. And again, and let it be a blessing unto their soul. And so we're thankful for God's word, thankful for another opportunity to come back this evening. We want to, before we get started, we'll give it up front here, the time, the opportunity to give unto the Lord. And we give you an opportunity through our church website at www.myntcc.org/Brooklyn, New York. And then we have our text to give at 347-229-9933. We will give that way as well. And then we have through Zelle, currently through Zelle at myntcc.org@gmail.com. That's our church email. So you will email the church, use the church email as the contact and set it up. And your tithe and offerings is unto the Lord. It belongs to God. Again, everything that we bring in, again, a tenth of that goes to God and offerings as well. And so you give it unto the Lord cheerfully. The Bible says that He no doubt pulls out the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing upon your life. You wonder where the blessings come from? Again, they come from the Lord. Amen. Giving and serving Him and giving back to our King, our Lord and Savior today. So continue to support the work of the Lord. Let me say thank you in advance for the offering. Thank you in advance for the opportunity to give today. Again, I want to remind you of our Tuesday night Bible study as well. Tuesday night Bible study, and then our Thursday in-person service. In-person service at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday nights. Come out. Be with us. Get your midweek shake off some of that week and come on into the house of the Lord on Thursday evenings at 7:30, 334 Ashford Street. If you're wondering where it's at, again, we're right there on the border of Brooklyn, Queens. So come out and support and be a part in the services with us on Thursday night. We have a good time in the Lord. Excuse me. I want to come out of the book of Hebrews. As I said earlier, we're going to use Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll just capture, I believe, just a few verses just for the sake of reading. And then we'll come back into it as far as the message goes here in a minute. But the Bible tells us here, let's go to verse 1. The Bible says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Years ago, we preached a message about that very thing, mixed with faith. You gotta receive the word and mix it with faith. Obey the word and mix it with faith. Follow and come into the house of the Lord and serving God, reading your Bible, mix it with faith. Bible says, "For we which have believed to do and do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, God did rest on the seventh day from all his labor." Number 5, it says, "In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief." He says, and again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." He says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day?" And I want to use that last, second to last verse there. Verse 7, he says, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David today, after so long a time, he says, as it said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And we'll capture that title there, make it that title, don't harden your heart this evening. Don't harden your heart, but being tender towards God tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, God, for your love, God, for your word, God, and all that you do. Lord, we pray, God, that you can bless, God, as we break forth your word this evening. Break forth, God, what you said in your word, God, and I pray that you will meet every need and, God, accomplish your divine work. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I'll come back to this other piece here in a minute. It's found in Exodus as well. About hardening the heart. Hardening the heart. And really, that's where it stems from. God had done so much for Israel. God had done so much. Again, had heard their cry. He had heard their plea to be delivered, their plea for God to send forth a deliverer. And God did very just that. He sent forth Moses to deliver the children of Israel. They had been enslaved for many years after the death of Joseph. And again, the next Pharaoh that came along, he had changed his mind. He had changed his heart concerning the people of Israel. And because of that, it led to, again, enslavement and hatred and bitterness. Again, his heart was hardened towards the Jewish people. And as a result, they became slaves. They became, and the Bible defines them as a cruel taskmaster, and how that he would enslave them. They made bricks. They worked tirelessly in the desert. They did all manners of things for the country and nation, superpower at the time, Egypt. And naturally, they grew weary. They grew weary and they grew tired. They grew hardened. And so they grew to where, again, they needed deliverance. They needed a change. And you know, that's kind of what sin does. Sin, over time, it should change you. Sin over time should cause you to begin to desire something better. Desire to want, again, a difference in your life. To desire a change to take place, something better to take place. And so God raised up this man named Moses. Moses, again, one of the beneficiaries of escaping the death of Pharaoh. Again, Pharaoh had declared, many of you know, that he declared to kill all the babies because Israel was growing too strong, the male babies, to kill them. Why? Because they were growing stronger. They were growing bigger, and the population was growing because God was blessing them in spite of being enslaved. You know, God blesses in spite of being enslaved. God can take care of you in spite of difficulties. God can take care of you in some of the hardest of times. God is an awesome God. So the key is to trust God and believe God. And Moses was a miracle baby. He was a miracle baby. How that he is named, no doubt, and his character represents deliverance. How God can bring forth deliverance. And you see, as time went on, God raised up him as miraculously underneath his very nose, Pharaoh, right there in his own house. His daughter saw him out in the stream. Many of you know the story, how that she brought him in and raised him up, even though the dictate was to destroy those young babies. And so naturally, in the miracle of it all, even his mother and his family was able to still be intact because and barely basically raise him and watch him grow because of God's grace. God will do things when it's against all odds. God can do things against all odds. And that's really why it really blew God away for Israel to harden their hearts. Even for again, as another part of the message about Israel hardening their hearts. And so as time went on, God heard their prayers and he grew up and he saw out there how his own people were being treated, how they were being misused and how that they were being abused. And so the Bible says that, again, he had some troubles and he ended up getting into a fight and killing a man out there in the field. And the Bible says he fled. He fled to the backside of the desert there and lived for many, many years. But God, on the backside of the desert, God would deal with his heart. God would speak to him many through the burning bush. You're familiar with that story? And on and on and on, how God began to develop him and shaping his life to prepare him to be a deliverer. And so the Bible says when those time was come, he went back into Egypt, and he began to have that declaration and that mandate from Almighty God. This morning we talked about the power of God. We talked about the presence of God. We talked about how God wants to give us that same power from that he has to instill in us through the Holy Spirit, and through our faith in him, we are empowered, an extraordinary power. So Moses went with the boldness and the power of Almighty God. And he was able going and declaring that his people would be free, declaring and decreeing that his people would be released from the tight grip of Pharaoh, an impossible task, a task that seemed as if all odds were not going to take place. Pharaoh was an evil and hard man. But the Bible says how that God was going to bring it to pass. He said, how will you bring it to pass? God, how will this happen? He said, I am the great I am. He told him, he says, when you go in there, tell him I am sent you. Tell him I am again. Will is the one that he going in the authority of the great I am. The great I am, that deliverer, that need meter, that savior, the one that holds power in his hand, the one that is able to heal, the one that's able to deliver and break forth and set the captive free. The great I am. I'm telling you that he's our all in all tonight. Trust him, believe him, serve him, worship him. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God tonight. And so as a result, Moses went in there. Moses went there and he went before Pharaoh. And he says, God says, let my people go. Let my people go. He preached to them. He told them, he says, hey, God has said it. And we were, my wife was asking about she told me this week that this is the time in which this occasion was taking place according to the Jewish calendar, according to the time of the plagues. And so how the 10 plagues that came because Pharaoh had hardened his heart. You look at this, how the 10 plagues, you can find that in Exodus 8, 7, 8, and 9, these plagues of Almighty God that he caused to come upon Pharaoh because what? He hardened his heart. I'll just give you a few. The water was turned into blood in Exodus 7. The land was filled with frogs because thereafter. Can you imagine going through it and going out and not knowing anything that's taking place? And all of a sudden, the rivers and the wells are turned into blood. Something eerie was taking place. And it was all because Pharaoh had hardened his heart. The plague of the frogs. I remember years ago when I first started coming to church there in Germany, in New Testament Christian Church, my preacher preached about one more night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs and how that Pharaoh had hardened his heart again. After the water was turned to blood, he says, all right, Moses, I'll let the people go. All right, just call on your God and tell them to stop. And then again, the frog plague as well. The Bible says the frogs were everywhere in the kitchens, in the cabinets, all in the house, all throughout in their beds, everywhere, frogs everywhere. And the Bible says, but Pharaoh said, Moses, would you pray that God will get rid of these frogs? And the Bible says how that after this, after God had answered the prayers, he hardened his heart. Okay, it's a head scratcher. Why Pharaoh? He sees the power of God. Moses demonstrated the power of God even before this. But again, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And you know what? It's a mystery why Pharaoh would do that. Why would Pharaoh, after seeing the force and the power that God has, and why would he harden his heart? But you see, rebellion is this, that, that. Again, you would think Pharaoh would learn his lesson. Pharaoh was wishy-washy with it. One minute he was ready to change. The next minute he was not. Again, and on and on. The Bible says here, another place was about the bugs and gnats and fleas and various things. Another place talked about flies. The next plague was flies. The next plague again was the livestock had died. This is the fifth plague. God went after the cattle, their livelihood, their meat, the things in which they would eat, the things they make money off of. God knows how to get men and women's attention. But the thing is, will we be in tune to listen, or will we harden our hearts a little bit harder? God will tighten the wrenches a little bit, tighten down the hatches a little bit, just to get our attention. But will we change? Again, sadly to say, many will harden their heart. Many will stay the course and stay the way, again, here the way that they are, to stay the course and say, I'm not changing, I'm not doing this, I'm going to continue on the march through. And so the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart even after the cattle had died. The Bible says he also plagued him with boils. The people and Pharaoh again experienced this skin disorder painfully, and naturally it hurt. It was extremely painful. But the Bible says, and so Pharaoh again played the same game. Oh, forgive me. I'll let you go. It says, you know, I changed my mind. He hardened his hearts thereafter, after God had released and brought forth healing. The Bible says after this, hail and fire came after this. What will it take? The Bible says the heavens had opened up and God rained down hail and fire upon the land. But you know what? It still didn't matter. Pharaoh stuck in his ways, stuck with his evilness. He hardened his heart again. We're talking about don't harden your heart tonight. It only becomes worse. The Bible says locusts came upon the land thereafter because, again, he changed his mind. He said, oh, I'll let the people go. I'll let them go, Moses. I'll let you folks go and go worship your God. But he did not. He refused to change. The Bible says he sent forth locusts in chapter 10. Chapter 10, and the Bible says devour all the crops. So now the field, the beasts were gone, and now the crops were chewed up. What will it take for people to wake up? Will it continue to take more hardship? Will it continue to take a more downward spiral before you see and understand what God is trying to do? The Bible says here, and then the next one was darkness upon the land. He imagined not seeing the sun, not seeing the sun come up. These are the plagues of Pharaoh, the plagues in which God has sent to Pharaoh, the plagues of Egypt. The Bible says darkness was upon it, dark and gloom place. Sometimes, again, the enemy, you'll find yourself in a dark place because you fail to come to the light. You fail to come to Christ. You fail to serve and surrender to Almighty God, or see the light, or you resist the light. My friend today, don't harden your heart. Come to Christ today. Say, nope, I will not change. I'm going to stay in this place. I'm going to stay in this dark place. And the Bible says he hardened his heart. The final one was death. The final one was death upon the firstborn. The firstborn of the land. God says he would come through. The death angel would come through and sweep through the land. The Bible says all the firstborn, the first lineage, the first part. Again, that first one that was born, it was the one who oftentimes was the one that received the inheritance. The one that was oftentimes adored the most, that firstborn. The Bible says death swept through the land, and the babies died. Can you imagine the weeping and wailing and gnashing and crying of these things? God spoke to him, but he hardened his heart. Even he holding his very own son dead. But you see here today, Pharaoh refused to learn. He refused to see. And the Bible says he hardened his heart. And really, naturally, after that, that was really the last straw. He says, go, go, go. Let your people go. Go. And even before that, before it came through, God said, apply the blood. If he would have applied the blood, if the people would have applied the blood, and those that did, the children of Israel that did, it was for them, really. The Bible says, he says, I will pass over you. And so this plague of death will pass over. We share with you this morning about how God is able to give forth eternal life. Our God is able to keep death from entering our door, meaning, again, eternally. He's able to keep you from dying and losing your soul. Don't harden your heart tonight. Don't harden your heart to the word of God tonight. God is speaking in you. God is letting you know it's time to come to Christ, while there is still time. Time is short. We share with you how that we don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know when our day may come. People are dying young. They die old. You say, well, I'll get to God later on down the line. When I'm laying in the hospital bed and I have to make that final prayer when the preacher comes in with me on my deathbed. But what about all the previous years? What about all the previous days when again, we send out messages. We call you. We visit. We call you on the phone. You see, again, God dealing with your heart. You see it online. You see people on the street corner telling you about God. Again, and your children, perhaps you have a Bible. All in all, no, God deals with hearts. Don't wait till your deathbed because it may not even come. Many times we don't know all the situations and deathbed experiences. Sometimes people get it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes people have time to pray. Sometimes they don't. We don't know, but don't risk it. Don't harden your heart. Today, the Bible says, back to our text, he told us here in the Word of God, he says, today in verses 7, again, he says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you hear his voice tonight, don't harden your heart, but come to Christ Jesus our Lord. Go to Exodus 8 for me, Act 28 through 32. This is one of the cases I skimmed over, but I'm going to give it to you now. This is really what stuck out as well. The Bible says, Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Pharaoh said, I'll let you go. Pharaoh was kind of bipolar in this way. Why? Because again, one minute he wanted to do something, and no doubt it was he changed his mind and said, you know, I'm going to let the people go. And then the next morning he would flip it around and revert back. What did he say? He said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. He had stipulations on it. He had stipulations on what, telling God what to do, telling God how it was going to be, laying out the guidelines of how things would take place. And he had it all wrong. He had it all wrong. God says, do it this way. God says, hey, repent and get right. Amen. And let the people go. And he says, no, 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 we're going to do it my way. He says, you can only go so far. This is the way it's going to be. And then I'll let them go. He said, entreat for me. And the Bible says, Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat of the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, and from his servants, and from his people and tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more. And he says, in not letting the people go to sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses already knew he was being deceitful about it. Being deceitful about really, really, really changing. Really being deceitful about, again, really meaning and wanting to see and make a change in his life. But the Bible says, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Moses prayed. Moses believed God. And Moses did just that. The Bible says that God removed the swarm of flies and many other plagues as well, as we ran through them just now. But the Bible says, from Pharaoh and from his servants and from the people, that there remained not one. God would do this with every single plague. God would do this. And you know what? The Bible says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. And many other times he would harden his heart. God is looking for a tender heart tonight. He said, neither would he let the people go. God is looking for a tender heart. Do you harden your heart when you don't get your way? Do we harden our heart when, again, things don't play out the way you wanted them to play out? Do we harden our heart when God deals with our hearts about things to change? Do we harden our heart when God says, repent or turn to me? Do we harden our heart concerning the things of the Spirit? Do we harden our heart concerning letting go of sin? Do we harden our heart tonight? He says, don't harden your heart tonight. The Bible says, back to Hebrews. And so he says, today, if you hear my voice, or hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? You see, if they would have listened to Jesus and to God, there wouldn't have really been a need for another day. But the Bible tells us here in verse, let's go a little further. Bible says in 9, he says, there remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God. For he that entered into his rest also has ceased from his own works. From his own works, from his own wisdom. From his own, he was referring back to Israel about them wanting to do their own works and rejecting Christ. Rejecting Jesus. rejecting the things in which Jesus has come, rejecting the things of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of the things that we do. It's not of the things that we can even say, but it's all about him today. He says here, let's move on. He says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall from an example of unbelief. It's a terrible thing to fall in unbelief. The Bible says they had once believed. He says, but now they have entered into unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, number 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, let it work on us. These things in which God allowed to take place, it should have worked on Pharaoh, but it didn't. For it only did it for a temporary season, just for a brief moment, a brief second. Brief moment, crocodile tears, and on. It only worked for a little bit. And so naturally, again, we want God to work on us eternally. Continuing, the Bible says, the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and also discern our thoughts and the intents of the heart. God even sees the heart before it was in done. God knew what Pharaoh was going to do. But you know what? This is God showing his power. Share with us this morning about extraordinary power by Almighty God. It was God showing his power. God knew what Pharaoh was going to do. He knew the intents of his heart. He knew Pharaoh wasn't going to do right. But you know what? Again, God began to manifest it. God sees the very intents of the heart. How is our heart tonight? Is our heart hardened? Is our heart bitter towards God? Is our heart bitter towards your fellow man? Is your heart bitter towards, again, people of God, your pastor, against your leaders? Is your heart bitter towards these things? He says, don't harden your heart. Is your heart bitter towards the Bible? Some, as we mentioned before, are bitter towards God because, again, something that may have happened in your life. Don't be bitter towards God. Don't harden your heart to God. But come to him, trust in him, believe in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says they could not enter into his rest. They couldn't enter into his rest because of unbelief. The Bible says in another place, and let's go to Hebrews 3, 13, 14 and 15. Hebrews 3, 13, 14, 15, 16. The Bible says, but exhort one another daily while it is today. He said, exhort one another while it's today. Beckon one another. This morning we exhort you to come to Christ. Exhort you to receive the power of God. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get filled with the power of God. We need the power of God. This evening, we exhort you to not harden your hearts towards God, not harden your hearts and continue on as Pharaoh continued on. The Bible says, he says, why this call today? The children of Israel will eventually harden their hearts is what he's referring to here. God had delivered them. God had set them free. God had caused them to escape Pharaoh and his army. As you all know, shortly after the final plague of death, the Bible says that God sent Moses out and they began to the Red Sea. And the Bible says God allowed them to cross the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was drowned behind them. And they went off into the wilderness shouting and praising God. And miracles had taken place. They were now free. 6 million plus men and women were free. A miracle to take place. Can you imagine moving a whole herd of people? It's the power of God. But the Bible says in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts. They started doubting God. They started doubting Moses. They started doubting what God could do. People were getting hardened. In our world today, we live in people are getting hardened towards God. The Bible says in the last days, people will harden their hearts. It will get cold and hard in our world. The church world will get hard. The church even will grow cold. Naturally, because, again, when it gets cold, things get hard. Things get hard. When the heart grows cold towards God, the heart grows cold towards people, things get hardened. And the Bible says that how that they grew weary and they grew in disbelief to God that set them free. And the Bible says they begin to question Moses. They begin to ask Moses all these different questions. He brought us out in the wilderness to die. Again, what a feed you watching? Let us leave Egypt where we was fed. No, 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 no. It was better in Egypt. They failed to realize what sin was and what sin does. The hardness and cruelty of Pharaoh. And oftentimes in life, the enemy will try to paint a picture that is better back over there. That is better over there. He will paint a picture and say, you know what? Life is better in sin than it is with God. I start coming to church preaching, things start going wrong. Well, that's because there's strongholds that you've shaken up. There's demons that have been shaken up. And the demons, when things are shaken up, we shake up a whole beehive. Because why? They know that you're no longer part of the clique, or no longer part of something. The devil will do all he can to shake things up and try you. Naturally, it's there to test you, and it's there to make you, and it's there to mold you. And it's really, really, really there to really find out from what we're made of. Do we really love Jesus? Do we really, really, really want to take up our cross and follow him? Again, and so not only his cross, but we have to take up our own cross and follow him. Don't harden your heart while you're carrying your cross. Don't harden your heart while you're the load that you have to bear. Don't harden your heart during the journey you have to take. But go with Jesus every step of the way and trust him every step of the way. And naturally, Israel did not do that. Israel did not trust God the whole step of the way. Again, they only trusted him in so many ways. The Bible says they hardened their hearts. And they begin to want to go after false gods. Why? When the God of heaven showed himself real. They begin to question God and the things of God, even if he really loved them. He fed them. He kept them. He gave them warmth. The Bible says their clothes didn't even wear out. Their clothes didn't even wear thin for 40 years. But they still hardened their hearts. They begin to sacrifice to strange gods, strange fellowship, strange things. The Bible says, and what happened? The Bible tells us that how they begin to make images and statues and false gods that displease God. They harden their hearts. And they begin to do all manners of sin against God. Go back and read the book of Exodus concerning these things. Their hearts were hardened. And you know what has happened in our world today? But what's going on in our society is because our world is growing harder and harder towards God. The fear of God is departing from mankind. But I pray for that remnant out there. I pray for those that's one that says, not me, preacher. I'm going to continue to stay tender towards God. I'm going to continue to stay tender and soft towards my heart, towards God, my heart tender towards God. I want to obey the Lord our God. And naturally, those that fail to do that in the wilderness, the Bible says here in 13, he says, I exhort one another by daily, by this day, at least anytime you harden your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin will cause many women to think that it's better back in Egypt. It was not better back in Egypt. The Bible says here today, it's better in God. Moses had a better way. God had a better way for them. If they were simply was to trust him, for we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold from the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end, it's important to hold it all the way to the end. Don't grow weary. Don't grow hard. Don't grow bitter towards God and towards the things of God, towards the people of God. The Bible says here today, we must partake and be partakers of Christ all the way to the end. He says, while it said in verse 15, while it said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts to the provocation. God deals with you. God provokes you. God speaks to your heart. Amen. Don't harden your heart. Don't stick your feet in the mud and say, I'm not changing. I'm not changing. I'm going to do it my way. The Bible says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all came out of Egypt by Moses. Some stuck their feet in the mud. Some refused to leave. Some died there in the wilderness. The Bible says, with whom, 17, whom about he grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? One of the things that they had did was, again, begin to do sexual immorality, on and on and on out there. Begin to fornicate. We continue to preach against sin. And some were still hard in their heart, saying, nope, preacher, I'm not gonna wait until I get married. We'll continue to do this. We're only trying to help you. The Bible says they died in the wilderness due to fornication. Due to various things, God will send plagues even to the children of Israel. The same God that sent plagues to Pharaoh, the same God that sent plagues to his own people. The Bible says they fell and died in the wilderness. They were free people. But somehow, some way, they hardened their hearts. You got to guard your heart from getting hard. You got to stay tender towards God every step of the way. The Bible says, whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest? God says, you know what? They can't go. He swear back. He says, but to them that believe not. So we see they cannot enter in because of unbelief. The promised land that God has set up, many of them died in the wilderness, escaping Pharaoh, seeing the miracles of God for 40 something years, seeing God's mercy and God's grace for 40 years. Somehow, some way, they hardened their hearts. Throughout your life journey, again today, will you harden your heart? The Bible says they could not enter in because of unbelief. The Bible talks about the laws of Moses in another place about the heart of stone. A heart of stone, a stony heart is what he refers to as, a stony heart. Again, but God gives us a heart of flesh. God wants us to have a heart of flesh instead. Now, Ezekiel 11:19 is where it comes from. I didn't give it to you earlier. He says, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. He pulled it up from Ezekiel 11:19. He said, I will give them one heart. One heart with God. One heart with your fellow man. One heart with your fellow believers. One heart with the Christian fellowship. The Bible says we would have been one accord. One spirit, one body. He said, well, I would give them one heart and I will put in a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. That old stony heart, that old hard heart, that old heart of stone. And I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes. Verse 20, they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And so we'll stop right there. But you think about it, a heart of stone versus a heart of flesh. A tender heart. You make that your prayer. God, let me be a tender towards you. There's another scripture I'll pass right close. The Bible talked about he is the potter and we're the clay. He is the potter and we are his clay. And he says, how can the clay speak up to the potter? He says, don't make me that way. Do it this way. I demand you do it this way. I demand it is done a certain way. And naturally, the potter will not take heed to that. And naturally, again, perhaps he would even throw it to the side and let it grow hard. But you know what? We want to be tended to where God, you continue to shape and mold us, shaping our minds, our hearts, and our souls tender towards you. God, and again, those potters, they take that water, they shape it and they mold it and they nurture it and they knead it and they mold it and shape it and mold it. They add more water to keep it tender and soft and to intertwine in the water. Again, they begin to massage it and do various things and add more water to keep it tender towards God. Continue to shape it and mold it into the image that the Maker wants us to be. So how can we as the clay say how it's supposed to be? He says he is the potter. And we're the clay. Don't harden your heart. But let God make and mold you every single day. A hardened heart will eventually crash and break into pieces. A hardened, something that is hard, it will eventually fall. And when it does fall, it will crash. But that tender heart will bounce. It'll bounce back. It reverberates. It's able to be able to withstand the blow. It can take it and bounce back. But that heart that is hard, it'll be crushed and it'll break into pieces. My friend today, don't harden your heart. Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he was broken into pieces. His army and really his nation suffered a mighty, major blow because they hardened their hearts. Israel suffered a major blow because they hardened their hearts. Throughout the whole Old Testament, you can read about it. How Israel will eventually continue to harden their hearts after all the things that God had done for them. My friend, today, the warning is don't harden your heart to the provocation. To the provocation. If this word is provoking you to move towards God. I pray to God, not away from God, but towards God. Towards God. Don't harden your heart. And the Bible says here, as we finish, Jesus no doubt came. No doubt he was a prime example of the ultimate one. Tender to God, tender to our Heavenly Father, tender, willing to do whatever, willing to obey, willing, no doubt, to die on that old rugged cross for us. He was willing to do it all. He was willing to do it for the sake of mankind, for people that were hardened towards him, people that were bitter towards him, people that cursed his name, people that rejected him. He was willing anyway. He could have easily hardened his heart the very first time he was rejected. He could have easily hardened his heart the first time he was rebuked, the first time he was spit upon, the first time, again, he was whipped. He could have easily done these things. The first time they threatened to stone him, the first time they blasphemed him, the first time they could have easily hardened his heart, but he didn't. He loved us so. He loved the very people that, again, it misused him and abused him. The very ones who nailed him to the cross, he loved them so. He didn't harden his heart. All the way to the grave, his last breath, Father, forgive them. He didn't harden his heart. And oftentimes, he didn't speak a word. The Bible said he didn't say a word. Again, to think about it. Again, and so, because the more he would have spoken, the more the people would have been angry and fought against him. He didn't have to speak. The word spoke for himself. His life spoke for itself. And so you look at this and how he went to that cross for mankind to give his life for all of mankind. On that old rugged cross, the cross of Calvary, Jesus died. Rose again, with all power in his hand to set the captive free, my friend, tonight. Don't harden your heart and your heart towards the gospel. Don't harden your heart towards the redemption story. Shed the price and went to hell for us. Paid the price and went to hell for us. Shed his innocent blood that we could be saved. Don't harden your heart towards the invitation to come to Christ, the Savior of the world. Pharaoh had many opportunities, many, many opportunities to repent and get it right, to repent and make things right. But he continued to harden his heart, my friend. Another invitation, another opportunity. You're watching this video today. You're listening to this message. Again, God has given us another opportunity to make things right with God. Don't harden your heart. But say, God, I surrender. I surrender my will. I surrender my ways. I surrender my life, my home, my everything, my being to you. Today is my day. Today, he said, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart to the provocation. To the provoking of getting saved, come to Christ. Come while there's still time. While the word of God provokes you, the word of God pierces your heart, while the word of God deals with your heart, sin prods and pokes you, says, come to me, come know me now. Don't delay. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart to the provocation. Come find rest in Christ today. Jesus, the Savior of the world, my friend, confess it, believe, confess your sins before him. Say, Father, forgive me of all my sins. I receive you as Lord and Savior today. I believe that you're the Son of God, the Savior of the world today, and he will save you. I repent of my sins. Wash me clean. Make me whole. And today, my God is more than able to set you free. Today, give me your life today. Don't harden your heart. As we draw nearer to his return, draw nearer to your death, I draw nearer to the rapture of the church. Don't harden your heart, but give your life over to him. Serve him. Live for him in this day and age we're living in tonight. God bless you. I pray. We look forward to seeing you this Tuesday night Bible study. Come on out and be with us again on the Bible broadcast at 7:30 p.m. Again, the broadcast, 7:30 p.m. Our next Bible study. Come on out and be with us. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening in the Lord. Amen. And stay tender towards God.